Begin the current daf Masechtas Megillah daf Yud Zayin. Begin on the bottom of Tazayin and Beis, two lines up in the bottom of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues in the related theme from the previous daf, which we mentioned at the end of Megillah, that it mentions that Mordechai was Rotze L'Roi Vechav, which the Gemara pointed out only the majority of his brothers were friends with him, but there was some Sanhedrin that separated because he wasn't learning Torah anymore. Although he was saving the Jewish people, but still the learning of Torah is greater than saving people's lives. So too, it's greater than the building of the Beis HaMikdash, as the Gemara brought a proof from Ezra. And now the Gemara continues in a third vein, that Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta, Gadol Tamar Torah, it's greater the learning of Torah, Yesu Mikibet Avayim, more than the honoring of one's father and mother. As the Gemara proves the point, all the years Yaakov Avinu was in the yeshiva of Aver, which for 14 years, as the Gemara is going to explain, when he left his father's house to go to Haran, to go to Lavan, and ultimately marry Rachel and Leah, he spent 14 years in the yeshiva of Aver. For those years, he wasn't punished for not having spent the time honoring his father. Now, the other years that he did delay in the house of Lavan and on the road, he was punished, as the Gemara is going to explain. Like the Master says, as the continued type of Yitzayim and Aleph. Why does the Torah reckon how many years Yishmael lived? Why would we mention the years of wicked people? Says the Gemara, so that we could go and calculate and figure out the years of Yaakov Vinu. Because through, as the Gemara is going to point out, through the years of Yishmael, we can learn that exactly at which point was it that all these different parts of Yaakov's life happened. And then we're going to be able to learn out and figure out that there was this 14-year gap that, although it's not mentioned in the Torah, that he learned in the yeshiva of Aver. Like it says in the Pasuk, it says, Ve'elu shnei chai Yishmael, these are the years, the life of Yishmael, ma'ash shana b'shleishim shana b'sheva shana, that he lived for 137 years. What's the point? So the Gemara explains, Kama kashash Yishmael me Yitzchak, how much older was Yishmael than Yitzchak, two sons of Avram, one from Hagar, one from Sarah, how many years older was Yishmael than Yitzchak? Says the Gemara, Arbeis HaShanin, it was 14 years. How do we know this? Let's say, because the Pasuk says, V'Avram ben Shmainim Shana v'Sheish Shanim, Avram Avinu was 86 years old, but led this Hargas Yishmael Avram when Hagar gave birth to Yishmael for Avram Avinu. Now, except there's a different Pasuk that says, V'Avram ben Ma'ash Shana b'Hivol Lo Yitzchak Benoi. He was 100 years old when he gave birth to Yitzchak. So 100 minus 86, 14 years difference. Now, except there's a Pasuk that says, Yitzchak ben Shishim Shana Beledis Esav. Yitzchak was 60 years old when he gave birth to the twins of Yaakov and Esav. So says the Gemara, so Bar Kama Havi Yishmael, Kedisyal Yaakov. How old was Yishmael when Yaakov was born? So Bar Shivim Bar Ba. Obviously he was 74 years old. If Yitzchak was 60 and Yishmael was 14 years older, so he was 74 years old. Now, Kama Paishin Mishnei. So when Yaakov was born, how many years left was there in Yishmael's life? So Shitin Betlas, 63. Because he said he lived to 137, and we said that he was 74, so there was 63 years left. Now, B'tanya, in the Braisa, HaYaakov Avinu, B'shosh Nesbarach Me'aviv, Yaakov Avinu was, at the time, when he was blessed by his father, when he was taken leave from him, going to Haran to go find a wife, Ben Shishim B'shlei Shana. At that point, he was 63 years old, and this can be a critical age to know, which the Gemara is going to point out, how do we know that he was 63 years old at that point when he left to go get a wife? We know this from Yishmael, because Ubayba Perik Mase Yishmael, it was that timing when he was leaving his father's household that Yishmael passed away. So we know that it was when Yishmael was 137 years old. Now, how do we know that? How do we know Yishmael passed away then? Because the pasuk says, "Vayar Esav ki barach v'gaimer." When Esav saw that his father was blessing Yaakov, sending away to go marry a certain type of wife, so he realized that the wives that he had were not good, and this is happening at the same time. So v'yelech Esav el Yishmael. So Esav went to Yishmael. V'yikach es machlas bas Yishmael achis nevayis. He took machlas, the daughter of Yishmael, who was the sister of nevayis, meaning her brother was nevayis. Now, mimash meshnema bas Yishmael, from the fact that the pasuk is telling me that she was the daughter of Yishmael, any day she achis nevayis, don't I know that obviously her brother, which is the son also of Yishmael, is nevayis? Why does it say that? Malam, this comes to teach us to kitshi Yishmael lemeis, because it was both Bas Yishmael and then Achis Nevayis. Because first her father engaged her to Esav, but then he died. V'si Nevayis Acheha. Then who took her to get married, because her father passed away during the engagement, was her brother Nevayis. So we know at that point that Yaakov was going away, Yishmael's passed away because Esav was marrying his daughter and he had died. Now, so again, we have Shitin Betlas. We have 63 years, as we prove from Yishmael, that Yaakov Avinu, at this point, is 63 years old. And that was only, again, because we knew this from the calculation of Yishmael, because if he died now, so we know there's that amount of time from when Yaakov was born until, and we know how old Yishmael was then, and we know how old his dad is dying, and we know that Yaakov is leaving now at the time, which is a 63-year gap. Yishmael died then, so we know that at that point, Yaakov is 63. And this is going to be important, and that's why we mentioned in the Torah, the years of Yishmael, to tell us this following idea. So then there's Va'ar Besar. We know there's four, we know seemingly if one just reads the Psukim after he left his father's household. So he spent the next 14 years in the house of his uncle Lavan. Ad Mesyal Ad Yosef until Yosef was born, like the Pasuk says in Bereishis Lamed Alef. Yaakov tells to Lavan, Avadatich Arba Esrei Shana B'Shtei B'Nasecha. I worked for you for 14 years and with your two daughters. That was the time when Yosef was born, where the Pasuk says Vayhi Kasher Yoldo Rachel Es Yosef. Oh, then he says, okay, it's time for us to leave. And from that point on, he went and worked for his father-in-law for another 6 months to get his payment with this whole story with the akudim, all the different types of sheep that he worked it out. But 14 years later, Yosef was born. Hashivim v'sheva. So you have that Yaakov should be 77 years old when Yosef was born, which was 14 years after he left his father's household. Now, the Pasuk says, V'yesev ben shleshem shana ba'amdilif nepare. So Yosef ultimately was sold on as a slave, and it says when he was 30 years old, he was standing in front of the pari after he was taken out of the pit to go ahead and present himself and tell him the interpretation of his dream. Now, but that would come out that at that point, Yaakov Avinu should be Meya B'sheva, 107 years old, when Yosef was 30 years old. And Yaakov didn't come down to Mitzrayim yet. That was when the 7 years of satiation and then the 7 years of hunger were going to happen. Yaakov was still in Eretz Canaan. He didn't come down to Mitzrayim. Then there was Shav de Sava, Vatarti de Chafna. The way it went, there was 7 years of bounty, and then there was supposed to be 7 years of famine, but it wasn't. There was 2 years of famine. As the Pasuk says, in Bereishis Mem Hei, Kizesh, Nasayim Harav, Bekar V'Arts, and these are 2 years already of famine in the land. So, Hamei V'Shitzer. At that point, Yaakov Vinu was 116, seemingly, when he came down to Mitzrayim, because he came down during the second year of the famine. And then ultimately he came down, the rest of the famine stopped. Now, it says in the Pasuk, so when he came down, so Yosef took his father to meet Paroi. It says, V'yemei Paroi Yaakov, so Paroi said to Yaakov, Kama yemei shnei chayecha, how many are the days of the years of your life? V'yemei Yaakov al-Paroi, Yaakov said to Paroi, yemei shnei mugurai shleishim ha-mashana, how many years am I living on this world? 130 years. Says the Gemara, according to our calculation, may v'shitza haben. It's only 116. We need to get 130. Elash ma'minah, rather we can infer from this that Arba Esrei Shnin, this 14 years, to have a beveis Eivor l'chashavlu, that he was in the house of Eivor, that wasn't calculated. At the time, like Luna Brisa. Hayakov beveis Eivor mutman, Arba Esrei Shnin, the Yaakov was hidden in the yeshiva of Eivor for a period of 14 years. From when he left his father's household until he came to the house of Lavan, there was 14 years that wasn't accounted for. He was in the yeshiva for those 14 years. Now, as the Gemara continues, Eivor meis la'achar sheyored Yaakov Avinu la'aram na'arayim. Eivor, the Rosh Hashiva, passed away after Yaakov had left to go to Aram na'arayim, to go to Lavan, and where he stayed over there, shtei shanim, 2 years later. So it comes out, to calculate the years of Eivor, comes out that when Yaakov was 79 years old, which was 2 years after he came to the house of Lavan, so, like we said, because we're going to calculate 14 years that he was in the base Eivor, so, therefore, Yatza, when Yaakov Avinu left Misham from the Yeshiva of Eivor 2 years before the death of the Yeshiva of Eivor, Uvolayla around the Ram, they came to Ram Naraim, Nimtzik, Shamad al Aber, comes out that when he was by the water, when he first encountered Rachel, when he first came to Ram Naraim, Ben Shivim Vishavashana. That means to say that at that point he was 77 years old, because although he was 63 when he left, but that's what we're saying, that for 14 years he was in the Yeshiva. So then he was 77, and then he left, and then he came to the Be'er in the first time meeting his family, Lavan's family. He was 77 years old. 2 years later, the Rosh Hashiva passed away when he was 79. Now, so therefore, like we said, that's why we calculated the years of Yishmael, to know that there was 14 years that he was in Yeshiva, because or else the numbers wouldn't match. Because we know he has to be 116. 130 is because it's 14 years before he went to his uncle's house. Now, says the Gemara to bring out the point, and how do we know that Yaakov Avinu was not punished for those 14 years in Yeshiva because he didn't fulfill Kibbut Ava'im? The Tanakh learned the Brisa. Nimtza comes out, Yosef Shapirish Me'aviv, that Yosef who left from his father, that the father Yaakov didn't see him, Esim Ishtayim Shana, for a period of 22 years. It's Keshem Shapirish Yaakov Avinu Me'aviv, is the same idea that Yaakov Avinu was separated from his father, where he didn't honor him. And therefore, he was mourning for his son also the same amount of 22 years. Now, where do we find that it was 22 years that he was separated from his father? Because it says in the pasuk, Yosef was ben shva esri shana. He was 17 years old, and that's when his father sent him to go to the brothers, and that's when he got separated. They sold him as a slave. Now, it says that when he became king on Mitzrayim, he was 30 years old. The Yosef mishle shana ba'amdilef neparit. So that's 13 years. Then you have the 7 years of plenty and the 2 years of hunger. Comes out to be 22 years, because in the second year of the hunger was when Yosef was again reunited with his father. So we see that 22 years that he was concealed from his father. Now, the question is, but the Yaakov Tlus and Veshita Havan, but Yaakov Avinu was actually 36 years that he wasn't by his father. He had 20 years by Lavan and 14 years in the Shiva Vaver. So what are we saying, that he was punished for 22 years not seeing his son because 22 years he wasn't by his father? What do you mean? 36 years he wasn't by his father. Rather, says the Gemara, proving the point that we started off with, our base said to have a base evil lechashim. The 14 years he spent in yeshiva vaver, they weren't counted, and therefore he wasn't punished for them. But then the Gemara asks, okay, then Seif said, then at the end, actually now, we asked, it's not 22, it's 36. Actually, now it's going to come out, actually shouldn't be punished 22 years. It should only be the 20 years he was by Lavan. The base Lavan esen shnin havin. By Lavan, he was only 20 years. Why did he get punished for 22 years not seeing Yosef? And the rather says the Gemara, Mishum Dishtai Ba'urcha Tartin Shnin, because he delayed on the road 2 years. When he was coming back from Aram Naraim to come to his father, Yitzchak, the time like Linda Braisa. Yotzim Aram Naraim, when he left Aram Naraim, where Lavan lived, Ovalai Lasukas, he came to Sukkos, Vasa Shamishmain Asachadish, and he spent 18 months over there. So, like it says in the Pasuk, so the Yaakov Nasa Sukkos, so Yaakov traveled to Sukkos, that's one. The heavenly boys, he built a house. Now, house, a sukkah, a tent, is like in the summertime. House is in the wintertime. And then it says again, and that for his cattle he made sukkahs. So it's mentioned the word sukkah two times, which means to say two summer seasons and one winter season, which is a year and a half, which is 18 months. And in Beiskel, he went and spent 6 months when he left from Shechem, like it says, Kum, Alei, Beisel, Begoyim, etc., in Beresh Lamed Hei. And he brought karbanos. So he spent 6 months there, plus the 18 months is 2 years. So therefore, the 20 in Lavan plus the 2 years on the road, he was punished, not honoring his father. His son wasn't by him for 22 years. But again, the 14 years in Shema Eva, because Gadol Talmud Torah, like we said, more than Hatzalos Nafashos, more than building Beis Hamikdash, and more than Kibud Av Eima. Therefore, he wasn't punished. Hanulach Megillah Nikras, we shall return to the first paragraph. That's the Megillah Perek Megillah Nikras, which, as the title of the parak, that was the primary topic about when the Megillah is recited. And additionally, there was this Ein Bein, which was mentioned between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. So we spoke about other Mishnayos also, that they're all the same besides a few differences. And with that, we continue to the second parak, Perek Hakoyri L'Mafreya, which actually takes out some words. Usually, it's the words together, but it also continues on the theme regarding the halachas of Kriyas Megillah. Says the Mishnah, Hakari es Megillah Mafreya. If someone recites the Megillah backwards, not in the straightforward order, says the Mishnah, Liyatz has not fulfilled his obligation. Kral Peh, if he recites it orally, not reading from the Megillah, or Kral Targum, if he reads it in an interpretation, B'chalash, and in any language, Targum is the Aramaic translation, B'chalash, in any language, Liyatz has not fulfilled his obligation. Aval Karin es Liloya Zayis Balaz. But, says the Mishnah, you could read it for those who speak in a different language, which any language that's not Lashon HaKodesh is considered a foreign language, for those who speak that foreign language, which later on the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean? You just said, if you read it in any language, you don't fulfill the obligation. And then you say, for those who speak a different language, if you recite it for them in that language, then you have fulfilled your obligation. Seems to be a contradiction. Now the Mishnah says, V'haloye sheshama ashuris yatza. Now, whoever speaks a different language, let's say someone speaks only English, but if they hear ashuris, they hear from the Hebrew language being read from the Megillah, then Yatzi has fulfilled his obligation. Lashon HaKodesh is the universal language that anyone who hears that will fulfill its obligation. Now, Kras Serugin, which Gemara is going to explain actually, Serugin generally means like skipping, but it means to say like skipping in how you read. If let's say a person reads a little bit, then stops, then reads a little bit, then stops, so it's like skipping almost, but it's not skipping anything, it's just delaying, then or umisnamnum, if let's say he's dozing off, but still Yatzi, he fulfills his obligation. Says the Mishnah, let's say a person was writing a Megillah, or Dersha expounding it, or Magia, or editing it. And as he was doing that, he was reading from the Megillah. So, if he was focusing and intending that he wants to fulfill his obligation with this, so he's fulfilled it. But if not, if he's just reading because he's editing, that's not considered a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. Now, says the Mishnah, if the Megillah was written with any one of these dyes, which the Gemara is going to explain exactly what all these are, Besam, or Besikru, or Bekaimus, or Bekakantim, or al on what it's written, hanyar or al diftra. Again, the Gemara is explaining exactly what type of papers these are. Liyatza is not fulfilled the obligation. Achtek suva ashurus, until it's written with the ashuri, which is a certain type of Hebrew script like we have in our Sifrei Torah. Al ha-sefer, on a scroll, which is specifically klaf type of parchment, uvidyai, and with a special ink called yai, those are the things you need to have a kosher megillah to fulfill the obligation. Now the Gemara asks regarding the opening halacha of the Mishnah, menanamidah, from where do we know that lemafreya, if one reads the megillah out of order, let's say backwards, it's not fulfilled his obligation. Some of says, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in the megillah, that they should celebrate the Yom Tov Purim kiksavam ukizmanam, like their writing and like their dates. Now, mazman l'mafrei aloi, just like their timings, can't be backwards. In other words, we said that it's the 14th of Adar and the 15th of Adar, depending if a walled city or not. Now, it's not possible that the 15th of Adar should be before the 14th. Their timings are in order. So, afksavim l'mafrei aloi, so to their writing, also can't be backwards. It has to be in the order. Now, that the Gemara asks, midi kriya ksiva hacha? Is the pasuk over here talking about the reading of the Megillah? Asiya ksiva. It's referring to the celebrating, the doing, which a previous staff had explained, that's the doing of the celebration of Purim. That's what the Pasuk is talking about. The Pasuk says over there, Lias Eisim Mishnei Hayam, that they should do these 2 days, Kiksav Mukizmanim. So it's the celebration that has to be in order. But it doesn't say anything about the reading of the Megillah has to be in order. The Gemara says from a different source. The Pasuk says in the Megillah, Vayama Eilon Niskar Manasim, that these days should be recalled and should be celebrated, should be done. So iskish zechir lasiya. So it's comparing the recalling, which is through the reading of the Megillah, to the celebration. Ma asil mafreilei, just like the celebration is not backwards, the 14th always comes before the 15th. Abzechir mafreilei, so to the recalling, the reading of the Megillah cannot be fulfilled backwards; it has to be in its order. Now, Tanu learned in the Braisa that v'chem b'hal. Same thing applies to when we recite the hal certain days of the year, and v'chem b'kriyishma, also the reciting of the kriyishma, u'bitzvila, and the shemayin esrei, the amida, all have to be in the appropriate order. If you do it out of order, you have not fulfilled the obligation. So says the Gemara, hal menal, where do we know that hal has to be in order? So Rabba Amar says, the chsiv, and all these interpretations according to psukim in hal, which are from certain parakim and tilim, the chsiv, like it says a pasuk in tilim, it says, mimizrach shemesh ad mevoy, from the rising of the sun until it sets, what is the pasuk end? Mehulul shem Hashem. The name of Hashem should be Mahul, which is Hal, should be praised. But one thing we see in that pasuk is just like the rising and the setting of the sun can't be backwards. It always rises first in the east and then it sets in the west. So too, Mahul Shem Hashem, the praising of Hashem of Hal, should also have to be in the order and never backwards. Second interpretation, Rabbi Yisrael Amar, he says, from the pasuk that says, Zeha Yoyim Asa Hashem, this day Hashem made, which it says, Nagil of Nismachabai, we shall rejoice and be happy with it. So it's talking about praising Hashem, being happy with it, and regarding the day that Hashem made, which is like the order of the day, which the hours don't change. It doesn't go from suddenly 12 o'clock back to 11 o'clock. So too, the reading of the Hal can't be backwards. Rav Avya Amar, he says, where it says in the Pasuk, Yihi Shem Hashem Avarech, it should be that the name of God should be blessed. Now, Yihi is always what's called, quote, Kehavyasai, as it is. Which means to say that also the praising of Hashem and blessing Him has to be also as it is, meaning in the order, not out of order. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, some say it's Rav Acher bar Yaakov Amar, he says, Mahacha, from the end of that pasuk. The pasuk ends, Me'ata v'ad olam, from now until forever, meaning as the order of time goes from now until the ever, it's in order, so to the reading of the Hal has to be in order. Now, Krishma, how do we know that the reciting of the Shema, which is an obligation to read in the morning and at night, that has to be in order? The Tanakh Luna Braisa. The Braisa brings a machlekes. Kriyishma kiksava. Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi says that the Kriyishma has to be as it's written, which in the Torah it's written in Lashon HaKodesh. So too, when you read the Shema, it has to be in Lashon HaKodesh and can't be in any other language. B'chamayim, they disagree. They say, no, B'chalashon, you could say the reciting of the Shema twice a day in any language that you know. Says the Gemara, my time of the Rabbi. What's the reason of Rabbi? So, because Amar Kora, the Pasuk says in the Parashah of Shema, as it continues in Beis, it says, V'hayu advar me'ela, that these words should be, Allah v'vecha. The word V'hayu connotes, as we said, B'habiyasin yu, has to be as is, which is just like it's written in Lashon HaKadosh, so do you have to recite it in Lashon HaKadosh? Says the Gemara, Rabban my time, what's the reason that they hold it could be any language? Because Amar Kora, the Pasuk says, as the famous Pasuk, Shema, listen. What does listen mean? You're speaking to any person, B'chaloshin shat d'shmei, whatever language you hear, that's how you say it. Says the Gemara, "Rebbe Nami Hakstev Shema." What does he do with that pasuk? Which sounds like, yeah, however you hear it. Says the Gemara, "Homi Bayle." He needs it to tell a different halacha. Hashmila aznacha masha atamaitz mipicha. You have to hear with your ears what you're talking from your mouth. Shema is saying that the obligation is when you say the Shema, it has to be audible enough that you could hear it. Rabban savi, but Rabban, they hold, kamanda amah hakar Shema v'lo yishmila azna yatza. They disagree with that. Therefore, they use Shema as they said, b'chaloshin. They don't say that it's that you have to hear it, because they actually hold like the pin that says, someone recites the Shema and he doesn't hear it with his ears, he has fulfilled his obligation. Now the Gemara is for Rabban and Namihok say b'hayu. But what do they do with the pasuk that their disputant brings of Rebbe? It says v'hayu has to be as is, which is lashna kaidish. They say no, humi ba'ili, that you need to teach a different halacha, which is the halacha would bring a source for. Shle yikra l'mafreya has to be as is, and it cannot be backwards, out of order. So obviously you see that Krishma can't be backwards, and this is where the previous Tana learns it out from, as the opinion of the Chacham. Now, says Gemara, but then Rebbe, shle yikra l'mafreya, that it shouldn't be read backwards, manalai, where does he know that from? Not from v'hayu, because he uses v'hayu to teach has to be in lashna kaidish. Says the Gemara, he knows it midvarim hadvarim. It doesn't say v'hayu dvarim, it says v'hayu hadvarim. What's the words? The words, it means to say that has to be as is, which is in the appropriate order. But Rabbanan, who they don't learn that order from hadvarim, they learn it from v'hayu, dvarim hadvarim loy mashmo. They don't understand that, that the hey would tell you the appropriate order, and therefore they don't expound it in that way. Now, the Gemara makes an inference. Lei miksav Rebbe, shall we say that Rebbe holds that kala tera kula, regarding all the entire Torah, b'chol lashon emra, that one can fulfill his obligations with the reciting of the Torah in whatever language he wants to. And therefore, we have to tell you, but when you're reciting the Shema, specifically that parasha, oh, we have to tell you, v'hayu, that, oh, it has to be in lashon HaKadosh. Because these are good ideas of lashon HaKadosh. Remember, if you would think to say that the entirety of the Torah, whenever you're reciting a parasha of the Torah, has to be specifically in lashon HaKadosh, in the holy language, in the ancient Hebrew, so lo mele lemechta v'hayu. So why do you have to say by Shema, oh, has to be Lashon HaKadosh? What do you mean, Kol HaTorah Kula, you have to say Lashon HaKadosh? Isn't it obvious that, no, genuinely he holds, you could do it in any language. And here we're saying it has to be in Lashon HaKadosh. So the Gemara, no, it's true. It was necessary to say Bahayu, that you shouldn't say, like the Rabbanan say, that Shema means that it could be in any language that you hear. Because you would think Shema Karabbanan, that how do you interpret Shema? Like the Rabbanan, in any language that you hear. Kasa Rachman Bahayu, the Torah had to tell you that, no, it has to be in Lashon HaKadosh, so you shouldn't think from Shema. But not because Kol HaTorah. Kol HaTorah Kula, you could say, also has to be Lashon HaKadosh. But here you would have thought that it doesn't have to be from Shema. Therefore, v'hayu comes to preclude from that. Similarly, the Gemara does the same thing in the reverse. Lamech Sabri Rabbanan, shall we say that the Rabbanan hold, that generally Kol HaTorah B'Lashon HaKadosh Nemar. The whole Torah has to be specifically in Lashon HaKadosh. These are G'dayat Debuchal Lashon Nemar, because if you would think to say that whenever you have a chiv of reading from the Torah, it could be in any language, so Lama Lelech Shema, then why do you have to say B'Shema? Oh, in any language? Of course, if you didn't tell me, I would know, like Kol HaTorah, that could be any language. So the Gemara, no, Itzrach, it was necessary. So you would think to say that you're going to interpret V'hayu like Rebbe, that tells you it has to be by Shema. Lashon HaKadosh, Kaz Rechman HaShema, therefore the Torah tells you that Shema, that no, in any language that you hear. But it could be that it's always like that in any language that you hear. Now the Gemara says, regarding the next thing that the Braisa said, Tefillah, Menalan, how do we know that the Amida, the Shemayin Esrei, also has to be in a specific order, and if you do it out of order, you have not fulfilled the obligation. Says the Gemara, the Tanag Luna Braisa, Shimon HaPakuli, which Rashi brings that some people say he was called Pakuli because cotton is called Pikula, so that he made money by working in cotton, of selling cotton. But be that as it may, Shimon HaPakuli, his der Shemayin Esrei Brachas, Lefneir Mimliel, Al Hasei de Biavna. He organized in front of Gamliel 18 blessings in the order, which that's what we're talking about here, the order in Yavne. And more of Amr B'Yechon and B'Amilah, and some say B'Masnita than the Brice we learned, that Meiv Esam Zekeinu, 120 elders, Uvehem Kamanavim, and amongst them were many prophets, Tiknu Shemayna Esrei Brachas Al HaSeida, they instituted 18 blessings in a specific order. And this is the source that we see. And this is actually the primary text that we have that was ever organized. The brachas of Saint Shemayin Esrei were from Nevi'im. Everything else later, Mishnais, everything where we have was later. The first primary text that one would analyze was made by prophets, 120 elders. But again, it was made in the order based on Pesukim as the Gemara is going to bring. And therefore we see, as the Pesukim are going to tell us, that has to be specifically in that order. As the Gemara expounds, turn about in the Brisa. First of all, the first bracha in Shemayin Esrei, Minayin and it's called Shemayin Esrei, which is the 18 brachas. Only subsequently did they add on another bracha, which then became the 19th bracha. But it's called Shemayin Esrei because of that, which is the Amida. Minayin Shemra of Amida, because we stand when we say Shemayin Esrei. Minayin Shemra Avis. Where do we know that the first bracha is the bracha of Avis, which mentions L'kei Avram, L'kei Yitzchak, L'kei Yaakov? Shnei Mekudim, it says the pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Havu Lashem, bring to Hashem, which means they mention in front of him, B'nei Elam, the sons of the mighty ones. They're what we call the Elei Ha'aretz, which elsewhere the Gemara tells us that those are the mighty ones refer to the Avos. So therefore we see that we have to mention the Avos first. Now, Menayin Shem Geburis, how do we know that subsequently we mention Hashem's might, which is the next bracha, the bracha of Mechayim Mesim? Shem, because the pasuk then continues, Havel Hashem kaved v'ayis, bring to Hashem honor and might. So we see that ayis, gevura, comes next. Ubenayin Shem Kedushis, how do we know that we say sanctifications, which is the third bracha of the what's called the Gimel Rishaynis, the brachas of Shvach, which is the bracha of Atta Kaddish. Shem, because the pasuk continues over there, Havel Hashem kaved shemai, bring to Hashem the honor of his name, Hishtachavel Hashem bahadras kaddish, bow to Hashem in the holy splendor. So it mentions Kedusha of Hashem. So those are the first three brachas. Now continues the Brayso. Maro loimer bina acher kedusha. What did they see fit? The Chazal, that the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, the sages, the prophets, that they said that the next bracha, which is the first of the middle brachas, should be bina, bracha of atachenin, that should be understanding acher kedusha, that comes after the bracha of atachadish. So says the Gemara Kishanem, it says the pasuk in Yeshaya, v'kedishu es kedush Yaakov, they sanctified the holiness of Yaakov. So it talks about kedusha. Vesely, hey Yisrael, Yeritzu, and the God of the Jewish people they revered. But Samachle, and after that it says, so we're talking about the Kedusha, which is also Ati Kadesh, Meshimcha Kadesh, Ukadeshim, Mecholim, Haluchasel, we have the holy ones referring to the like the Jewish people that they praise you. So it's Kadesh Yaakov. And what does it say after that? Beyadu Toye Ruach Bina, and that those who are the ones that get that their spirit are blundering, they'll know understanding. So we see that after the sanctity, after Kedusha, then comes Bina. Now, ma ro loyim teshuba achabina. Where do they see fit to say the blessing of repentance of the bracha of tshuva after that of bina of atachinen? It's like it says a pasuk in Yeshaya. It says ulavava yavin, and to his heart he'll understand. The shavar afle, he'll repent and he'll be healed. So you see that tshuva comes after bina. Says the Gemara, but if that's the case, based on this pasuk, leim refuah basra de tshuva, then the bracha of refa'enu should be after the bracha of tshuva, because it said b'shav v'rafalai. And the bracha of Refa'inu doesn't come till later. Says Gemara, no, you can't entertain to say the bracha of Refu should be after the bracha of Teshuva, because the Chassid, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, says V'yashav El Hashem v'rechameu, that he'll return Teshuva to Hashem and he'll have mercy on him. Ve'el Lihenu and Targad Kiyar Belisloach, because he'll increase forgiveness. And that's why Salach Lanu comes after the bracha of Teshuva, like we see after V'yashav is Lisloach. Says the Gemara, "My chaz the samachar ha. We do see to rely on this pasuk samachar, rely on the other pasuk. The other pasuk says refuah after tshuva. This bracha says slich after tshuva. So you say that we do slach after tshuva. Why not? Maybe rely on the other pasuk, which refuah should be after tshuva." Says the Gemara, "No ksiv karachrina, because we have a different pasuk in Tehillim that says haseleach l'chol avinechi, he forgives all your sins, and only then it says harifu l'chol techleichi, that he heals all your illnesses." Hagoyel Meshaches Chayechi, who redeems you from the destruction of your life. So you see, that first comes Slicha and then comes Refua. But then the Gemara says, okay, but then Lamemer de Geula Refua Basa Slichihi? Is that really to say that, as you're saying, that redemption and healing is only after forgiveness, as you're bringing from this Pasuk where it says Slicha, then Refua, then Geula? But Vaksib, we have the Pasuk mentioned before. What do we do with that Pasuk? B'shava Rafale, it says that he'll repent and he'll get healed. So how do we understand that Pasuk? Yeah, you bring another Pasuk that's saying that no, first comes Slicha and then comes Refuah and Geula. But what do you do with this Pasuk? It says the Gemara, Ha'ula Refuah de Tachloim Hi. That healing of B'shava Rafale is not a healing of physical ailments. El Refuah de Slicha. It's a healing of forgiveness of a spiritual malady. Now the Gemara continues, Umaro Lemer Geula B'shvias. What do they see fit to say the bracha of galis of geula, which is the bracha after slicha? Where did they see fit to say that bracha, the seventh bracha of Shemayna Esrei? Meaning, because really, they should have refuah after slicha, like the pasuk said, Haselech l'chol avinechi, he forgives all your sins. Harayf l'chol techleichi. So that pasuk seems to indicate, okay, fine, slicha is going to be after tshuva, not refuah, but at least have refuah after slicha. Why do we say then the bracha of geula after the bracha of slicha? In other words, why is that the seventh bracha? As the Gemara is going to point out, that yeah, really refuah should come after, but geula we want to have the seventh bracha, because Amar Rabbi says, Metechsha asidin legal b'shvia, since the Jewish people are going to be redeemed in the future, in the seventh year, meaning the Shemitah cycle that Mashiach ben David's going to come, it's going to be different than all other years. As the Gemara says, Nachelik and Sanhedrin, Tav Tzadik Zayin, Amad Aleph, the first year of that Shemitah cycle, there's going to be hunger, but not a hunger, then it's going to be worse and worse and worse, and so on and so forth, and the Gemara goes through over there that in the seventh year, there's going to be wars, and right after the Shemitah year, is Mashiach ben David's going to come. So since that's going to be in the seventh year, which is the Shemitah year, so Lefikach Kavu B'Shvi, so therefore they put the bracha of Geula, they put that in the as the seventh bracha, to allude to that seventh year. But the Gemara asks, as we just alluded to, but the Master says, B'shishas Kailis, in the sixth year of that Shemitah cycle when Mashiach is going to come, is going to be noises. B'shvi'as Mohammed, in the seventh year, is going to be wars. B'matzah Shvi'as Ben David Ba. After the Shemitah year, then Mashiach Ben David is going to come. So why are you saying the seventh bracha? It's not going to be seventh. It's actually going to be after the Shemitah year. It says the Gemara, Melchama Nami Eschalta de Geulahi. No, the war is also the beginning of the redemption. So therefore, that when as we say in Al Nisim, Baal Melchama is the wars are also part of the redemption, and that's in the seventh year, and therefore, since that's starting it off, therefore we wanted the Geula to be as the seventh bracha. Now, although the bracha of Geula, which we say in Shemoneh Esrei as the seventh bracha, is not the Geula of the exiles of the Jewish people, it's rather that as a personal salvation that we want that the Jewish people should have what's constantly coming to us at all times, because the blessing of gathering of all the exiles and the building Yerushalayim and of the sprouting of the pride of David, those come later on in Shemoneh Esrei, each one having their own bracha, besides this that we mentioned over here in the bracha of Geula. So why are we saying it's the seventh bracha because of the redemption of Mashiach ben David? But that's not this bracha, that's that. Even so, says Rashi, since ultimately it has the title of Geula, and that's the bracha that we say in Shemoneh Esrei, Goel Yisrael, so therefore we mention it as the seventh bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, even though it's not referring to that Geula. We're not talking about the Geula of old time, that's later on Shemoneh Esrei, but since it's called Geula, so we wanted it as the seventh bracha. Now the Gemara asks, Umar ro lemi refu b'shminas, where do they see fit to have the bracha of Refa'enu as the eighth bracha of Shemoneh Esrei? So Amar Bachi says, because mitech shenitna mila b'sheminis shetzichu refua, since circumcision, the bris mila is on the eighth day of the baby's life, which needs healing, lafikach kavu b'sheminis, therefore they put the bracha of refua as the eighth bracha to allude to that of the refua of the baby on the eighth day. Now, Amar ro lema b'riches hashanah b'tishis, where do they see fit to have the bracha of baruch aleinu, of blessing of the years of the fruits and the crop to be in as the ninth bracha? So Amr Alexandri, he says, because Kenegin Mafkiish Arm, what the Chazal were instituting, it was to counter those who up the prices, inflate the prices of the market prices. The Chassid, like it says, the Pasuk in Tehillim, Shvur Zeroya Rasha, break the arm of the wicked person, which that refers to those who increase the price of the grain, thus inflating the price in the market. Now, how do we know that that's referring to those who inflate the prices of the produce? Because it says within that parasha, Yerev b'mister ka'arya, that they hide in concealment like a lion. Besuka yerev lachtaf ani, that in his hut he's waiting to grab and to mold the poor person. Now, bandits, they're not waiting to pounce on the poor. If anything, they wait to pounce on the wealthy. Rather, who are we talking about over here? Those who are inflate the prices of the produce, where most of their wickedness ends up afflicting the poor people, because the wealthy, okay, they could afford the inflated prices. And it was regarding them that David HaMelech was beseeching mercy, break the arm of the wicked, in other words, bring satiation to the world, and that's going to break the arm of the wicked. Like the Pasuk says, Varat Tidrish, they seek bad, but Rishay Bal Tem, so David HaMelech says, let them not find their wickedness, which the intention of them is to do wickedness. So when they're seeking their wickedness, David HaMelech was saying, let them not find it, because they won't be able to, because there's going to be blessings in the world. Now, the David Kiyama, when David said this parak of Tehillim, but the Shia summer, he said it as the ninth parak in Tehillim. Whereas Tosafot points out that actually the Gemara in the first parak in Brachas says that it's because the first two parakim are actually one parak. So although we have this actually as the tenth parak in Tehillim, the first two are considered as one. So therefore it's the ninth parak in Tehillim, and therefore we made the bracha of Berachas Hashanah, which is to counter this same thing that David Melch is saying in the ninth parak, they made that as the ninth bracha. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rolem Rekibitz Gullius. Where do they see fit to mention the gathering of the exiles, which is the next bracha of Tekab B'Shefer, Lacher Bechaz Hashan, after the blessing of the bounty of the year? Because the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, Va'atem, and you, hurry Yisrael, mountains of Israel, Anfachem titenu, give forth your branches. Uferichem tisu la'ami Yisrael, and your produce you should carry for my people, the Jewish people. Ki kerbu la'ave, because they're close to coming home. Meaning, bring forth your bounty so that the Jewish people will have it. But one thing we see is that the gathering of the exiles coming back to Eretz Yisrael is going to be at a time when there's going to be blessing and bounting of the years of the produce. Now, once that happens, v'kivin sh'niskabtzu galus, once the exiles are gathered back into Eretz Yisrael, nasa din b'risham, then judgment comes against the wicked, which is before Yerushalayim is settled. And that's why the bracha of Hashiva Sheftenu comes next. Shnamak says a pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, "Bashiva yodi alayich, I will return my hand upon you. Ve'etzriv kabar sigayich, and I will cleanse like lye, which is like a cleansing agent. Sigayich, your dross, which is all the filth that you have." Now, Xiv, and then says afterwards, meaning through this, Bashiva Shevtech Kivrishain, I'm going to return your judges like it originally was, which is the Yetzayach Kevatchila. These are similar words we say in Hashiva, like it used to be, which is like it says, Tzin b'mishpat tipadev shaveh b'tzedakah. So therefore, he has this near the gathering of the exiles, which is Hashiva Shevtenu and b'tzedkenu in that mishpat. Now, b'kivin shenasadim and Hashem, once there's judgment that's meted from the wicked, so kalu hapeshim. So the sinners are killed out because they don't believe in the law of Moshe Rabbeinu that Torah is min haShemayim. But Koil Zaydim Imam, that includes the deliberate sinners with them, which this is alluding to the bracha of Al-Malshinim, although that was actually instituted only later, which we're not counting as a separate bracha yet. Shnema, like it says after that, it says v'shever paishim, and the destruction of the sinners, which refers to Zaydim, as the Gemara says in Yuman Neflam Advav and Beis, Pesham are the Meradin, those who rebel. V'chatam yachdim, those who sin, that altogether, as the pasuk says, v'ezvei Hashem michalu, that those who forsake Hashem will be wiped out. Which, as we said, that this is that idea of kalu ha'peishim. Now, v'kivin shekalu ha'peishim, and once the wicked are wiped out, misrei memes keren tzaddikim, that elevates the pride of the righteous, which is the next bracha of ala tzaddikim. Looks like it says a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, "V'chol karnei rishom agadeya," that all the pride of the wicked I will cut down. "Tiramam nekarnei tzaddik," I will elevate the pride of the righteous. You see, when the wicked are cut down, which is Hashiva Shevtenu and Belmashinim, then comes Al Tzaddikim. Now, "V'koil gera tzaddik im tzaddikim," in bracha of Al Tzaddikim, it mentions also the righteous converts with the righteous. Shnemak says a pasuk in Mayikra. It says, "Mepnei seva talkum," in front of the elder, you should get up. "V'darta b'nei zaken," and you should glorify the face of the elder, which refers to zesha kanachachma regarding the zakenim and the tzaddikim. "V'samachle," and it says after that the pasuk, "V'chi yager," and the ger says, "Itcha ger," when there's going to dwell amongst you the ger, you have to also treat him nicely. So therefore, we put geriat tzaddik together with the brach of al tzaddikim. Now, continues the order of Shemayin Esteri. "V'heichin misra memes karnimam," where is the pride of the righteous elevated? The Yerushalayim. Therefore, the next bracha comes, "Uvenei." Shlomo says the pasuk in Tehillim, "Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim," seek out peace of Yerushalayim. "Yishloyu Ayavayich," that your lovers will be serene over there. Who are the Ayavim of Yerushalayim, of Hashem? It's the tzaddikim. So that's where their pride is elevated, in Yerushalayim. Now, "Bekimish Nevis Yerushalayim," once Yerushalayim is built, "so ba David," that's the bracha Bes Samach. Then David HaMelech comes. Now, Shlomo, it says the pasuk in Isaiah, as a gittin tabi b'tchazim et alf. It says, "Achay Yeshuva v'nei Yisrael," after the Jewish people come back to the Beis HaMikdash, "ubikshu es Hashem lekeim," and they seek out Hashem their God, "ves David Malkum," and their king David. Now they have Yerushalayim, now they have the Beis HaMikdash of v'nei, now they want David to be the king. Now, "Bekimish Abba David," once David comes, "basa tefillah," then pray, which is the last bracha of the middle brachas. Then, after Es Samach comes prayer. Where do we find this? Shlomo says the pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, "Vav Yisrael Har Kodesh," I'll bring them to my holy mountain, which is where the Beis Hamikdash was built. "V'samachim beBeis Tefilasi," and I'll have them rejoice in the house of my prayer. So you see that after the Beis Hamikdash is there, which then they want their king David, then comes prayer, but which is in the Beis Hamikdash. Now, "V'kimin Shabbos Tefila," once Tefila comes, "Bas Avoda," comes the next bracha of Ritzei of the Avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. Shlomo says in the pasuk over there, it continues the theme of Beis Tefilasi. Their karbanis ayla and their karbanis shlamim will be for appeasement on my mizbech, which that's bracha ritzei. Now, v'kimin shabas avayda, once we mentioned the service of ritzei, bas taida, then comes the next bracha of maidim, comes thanks. Shlomo says a pasuk in Tehillim, says zeveach taida, that one who offers, that's what like a slaughtering, he offers taida, thanksgiving, but what it's alluding to is after zvicha, which is the slaughtering, which is the avayda, then comes Haida, then gives thanks, says Hashem, whoever does it, Ichabdanni, will be honoring me. So therefore we say that after Ritzei comes the Bracha of Maidah.